Attention, mill spouses, families, and service members. It's now time for another empowering episode of Army Wife Talk Radio, the leading and longest running podcast of its kind. AWTR is here to engage, educate, and encourage you by sharing dynamic interviews, social media connections, news, and empowering military life information. Here are your AWTR hosts, your Army Wife Network Command Team.
Hello, listeners. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Army Wife Talk Radio podcast, which is the leading and longest running podcast of its kind. This show is specifically designed to engage, educate, encourage, and empower those that are living this military life journey. Whether you're a military spouse or you have a family member serving, wherever you are around the globe, we are here for you. This is episode number 798, and I'm your host, Army Wife Network content editor, Sarah Peachy.
And I'm Army Wife Network's engagement ambassador, Molly Ritterbeck. Sarah is so right. Army Wife Network wants you to know that you are not on this journey alone. We have the resources you need to meet you exactly where you are in the military life, including segments such as Resource Recon, Empowerment in Action, interviews with empowering guests, and so much more. Speaking of interviews, stay tuned because in a few minutes, we'll listen to an interview conducted by Army Wife Network owner and commander Sherita Knobloch as she chats with guest Anita Johnson of IPONO, Hawaii Eating Disorder Treatment Program, in honor of National Eating Disorders Awareness Week.
Molly, I'm super excited to be hosting with you today. You've had some big changes on the horizon in your Household 6 world. How have things been going for you?
It's definitely been a change. You know, you start this journey and it seems like the end's never going to come. And now for us, it's getting closer, closer than I thought it was. But at the same point, we still have some time after doing some research, which is definitely good for me and my nerves.
What have been some of the struggles that you have been facing? Because you are reaching sort of the retirement period, correct?
Correct, we are. So with that, you know, that comes, do we have our ducks in a row when it comes to, you know, a new job? Are we secure where we are with the kids' school? You know, obviously financial. Mm-hmm. And it's just, there's so much to consider based off what the Army gives you, what I think some people don't realize what they're given, and knowing what's not going to be there in the end. So it's just kind of, some of it's a guessing game, and some of it is hopefully we've done what we needed to do. But luckily for us, we have a little bit more time after doing some research. So hopefully we can get it all ironed out.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's helpful.
Yes, most definitely. But what about you, Sarah? What's going on with you?
Well, our family just recently received the RFO. So that means orders are on the horizon. So,
yay!
You know, you kind of get that itch. I feel like you've been in one place for 2 years and then you kind of start getting that itch of, okay, it's time to move on. It's time to go somewhere new, start some new adventures. So we're really excited to get moving again.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, you have that 2 year itch, 3 year itch, but you know, for us, we're not going to have that anymore. So it's kind of weird.
I feel like that would be a weird thing to know. This is where I am. This is where I'm going to stay until I make a decision if I don't want to be here anymore.
Yeah, it's a little bit different, but it's kind of nice to be in control at the same time of that.
Mm-hmm. Feel like you can go crazy now. Like you just be like, I'm going to take a trip. I'm going to go explore this place. I'm going to go do this. And just feel like you don't have to have all of the permission anymore.
And I can paint a wall without having to know I'm going to paint it back.
No restrictions on colors or wallpaper.
It's the little things, I tell you.
Well, Molly, it was so good to catch up with you and just get a little bit of where you are and to kind of get that inspiration from you about how the changes come and go.
Oh, thank you.
When I heard the topic for this interview today, I felt it could be helpful and valuable for so many in our community. Sherita and Dr. Johnston have so much to share about understanding eating disorders and other struggles with food.
Let's listen in, Sarah, as Dr. Anita Johnston shares with IPONO.
Greetings and welcome to another empowering installment of Army Wife Talk Radio's interview segment. I'm Sherita Knobloch, your Army Wife Network owner and commander. Today, we will chat with Dr. Anita Johnston. She is a clinical psychologist, certified eating disorder specialist, storyteller, eating psychology pioneer, and author of Eating in the Light of the Moon, which has been published in 6 languages. She is the co-creator of Light of the Moon Cafe, an interactive online women's circle book club and workbook for Eating in the Light of the Moon. She has been working in the field of women's issues, eating difficulties, and body image distress for over 35 years and is currently the clinical director of Aipono Hawaii, which has a residential treatment program in Maui and outpatient eating disorder programs in Honolulu. Dr. Johnston provides virtual individual consultations and conducts workshops around the world. She is best known for integrating metaphor and storytelling into her training as a clinical psychologist to best explain the complex issues that underlie struggles with eating, exercise, and body image. Welcome to the show, Dr. Johnston. Super excited to chat with you today.
I'm happy to be here.
You bring a lot to the table, obviously, just from reading a little bit about your background. So I would love to dive in and get to know a little bit more about your knowledge and experience with helping folks with eating disorders and how it ties to our military spouse lives. First question, what is your understanding around what causes disordered eating and why eating disorders ultimately develop?
Yeah, it's a little complicated and a little confusing because eating disorders are about food and they're not about food at the same time. So in a way, you're working with a paradox because obviously they're eating disorders. So it's about food and eating, but there's so much more. And the eating behaviors, whether it's binge eating or food restriction or binging and purging or yo-yo dieting, is really just the tip of the proverbial iceberg, and that there's so much more going on underneath. And so that's where it gets interesting. But typically, eating disorders are often a way of coping with intense feelings that you don't quite know what to do with. And they're also a way of communicating to others and to yourself something that might be going on.
So you talk about those who struggle as highly sensitive and intuitive individuals. I'm no professional, not even close to you, but I've just recently been learning the prevalence of eating disorders within our world, especially within females. So I would love for you to expound on the thought of how that those folks that are highly sensitive and intuitive, it relates to that dysfunctional relationship with the body image that can lead to an eating disorder or disordered eating, because they're not the same thing, right?
Well, they're all on a continuum.
So, okay.
So, you know, if you look at a continuum, you can have all of us, frankly, to one way or another, we use food for other than physical nourishment. So that's one end of the continuum. And then along the way, you can have all different kinds of disordered eating and negative body image. And then on the extreme other end of the continuum, you can have a bona fide, diagnosable, life-threatening eating disorders. So really, it's more of a continuum and people move around on it. So it's not that clear cut.
Right.
But what I discovered, and this happened very early 1980s, when I was supervising a psychology intern who wanted to do research on the incidence of eating disorders in Hawaii. And every time we got together to talk about what we were seeing, we kept saying, oh my gosh, there's such a problem here. There should be a center for this. And after we said that for about the fifth time, we looked at each other and we went, okay. And so it was one of those things where you create it and they come. And so what was happening is girls and women of all ages, all ethnicities, all sizes, all different kinds of struggles with food and body started showing up. Now, for some reason, in those days, no guys were showing up. And so I was very curious. There was not a lot written back in those days in the early 80s. And so I was curious about, okay, first of all, why is it female that are showing up? Second of all, why is it these girls and women? And third, why is the struggle around the body and food and eating? So I decided that I was going to listen to their stories as carefully as I could to see if I could see what was the common denominator, right? What did they all have in common? And what I discovered was that, as because I'm a storyteller, that their stories were very much like the child in the fairy tale, The Emperor's New Clothes. So in this fairy tale, you have this vain emperor. He doesn't care about ruling his kingdom. He's mostly interested in fine clothing and jewelry, right? And he gets quite a reputation for this. And a couple of con artists come into town and they pretend to be tailors, but they say only those fit for their station in life can even see the clothing. And so this convinced the emperor. And so he had them create a whole new wardrobe for him. And all the people who worked for him carried on about the fabulous clothing. And the emperor even himself, he didn't want people to think he wasn't fit for his station in life. And so eventually the con artists, they laugh all the way to the bank, they leave town, and the emperor's wearing his fabulous outfit as he's going through the procession in town. And of course he's totally naked, but all the townspeople were oohing and aahing because they didn't want people to think that they were stupid. And so there's a child, though, in that crowd that said in a very loud voice, "But mommy, the emperor has no clothes on at all." And when this child spoke, it created a ripple throughout the crowd, and everyone saw the emperor for the fool that he was. What I started seeing is that these girls and women, that was their story as well, in the sense that they were like that child. They had an uncanny ability to perceive subtle realities, to see the invisible. What I mean by that, they could read between the lines, perceive hypocrisy. They could sense when something wasn't okay, even if everyone around them said things were just fine. But because their lives weren't fairy tales, what happened when they spoke up like the child in this fairy tale, they were either ignored, or maybe they were ridiculed, or maybe in some instances, they were rejected, and other instances abused. So they had to find some way to dim their light, to diminish this capacity to see these subtle realities that others around them couldn't see. And then what they discovered, because we live in such a diet culture, is that if they put their focus on losing weight and food, then they could not have to pay so much attention to these feelings they were picking up on, or these their reactions. So that's when I started to see, oh, okay, those who struggle are very, what I call thin-skinned. They are very highly emotionally sensitive and very intuitive. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. However, it's a problem if you live in a world that only values being thick-skinned, that says, get over it, you're too sensitive, water off a duck's back. And so they had to find a way. And what they discovered is that obsessing about food and their bodies was a way to distract them from this, which is their superpower, but they don't know how to work with it.
I can't help but wonder how you just mentioned, you know, in a world that values thick-skinned folks, like, I feel like that is very much the military spouse culture, because we're so suck it up, buttercup, take a knee, drink some water, rub some dirt in it, and move on. And so I'm just wondering how many of, you know, our listeners or folks that, you know, maybe could benefit from some of your counseling, coaching, treatment plans, whatnot.
It's skill building is really what it is. Because if you were born very emotionally sensitive, highly intuitive, I think that's a very fabulous thing. In fact, I think in some instances, our world would be in a lot better shape if more of our world leaders were more sensitive, because a certain level of compassion and understanding comes with that. However, if you were born into a family or into a culture that doesn't value that, who's going to teach you how to work with it, right? Because you can't change that any more than you can change the color of your eyes. And so essentially, there are certain skills that a person has to have in order to be a thin-skinned person in a thick-skinned world. I mean, you have to learn how to work with this, because when you're emotionally sensitive, something that may be no big deal to someone else penetrates your very bones. So then what do you do with it? And so ironically, the recovery journey from any kind of eating difficulty is one that helps you learn those skills that serve you the rest of your life, long after the disordered eating is gone. So those skills are basically becoming more emotionally literate, right? Mm. Learning the nature of emotions, because they're not what we're taught. We're taught that emotions are things, right? And mm-hmm. that we should control them. Well, the reality is they're not things, they're energies, and they are designed to move, and they cannot be controlled. You can control the way you express them, mm-hmm. but not the feelings themselves. And so then, so that's emotional literacy, is really understanding that they're like waves of energy that come in, peak and pass. And you got to learn how to ride them, not try to control them, because it won't work. And then you need to learn cultural literacy, right? You need to know that there's a lot of money being made by people going on diets, or people getting, cosmetic surgery, or even cosmetics themselves, right? There's a lot of money to be made from feeling bad about the way you look. And so you have to be able to see that, that's what's going on, in order to be able to respond to those messages that are always telling you, you have to lose weight in order to, be successful at this or get that relationship. And so just really recognizing that we live in a diet culture mm-hmm. that says, well, this will fix all your problems. Well, research shows us that 90% of those people that go on diets gain the weight back, and 95% gain back more. So mm-hmm. diets actually cause weight gain, but worse, they cause low self-esteem, because you feel like a failure when essentially the diet itself is designed to fail. Mm. So that's another skill. It's just like learning that, and then learning interoceptive awareness, which is really learning your hunger and satiety signals. So interoceptive awareness is just body awareness. When we say, oh, my head is pounding, or my heart is racing, or my stomach is growling, that's interoceptive awareness. So really learning to read your body, because your body will tell you when to eat and when to stop eating if you learn how to listen. And then the final skill is that assertive communication. And that is identifying, accepting, and expressing your feelings clearly, directly, and kindly in a way that honors your experience and honors the experience of the other person. Because if you can't do that, then you will either turn to food to stuff those feelings, or maybe restrict those feelings, or distract yourself from those feelings, and the real problems never get resolved.
Wow, that's a lot to digest. And but it really goes back to what you said at the very beginning of saying mm-hmm. that the what manifests on the outside, as far as the somewhat, whatever's happening on that spectrum of disordered eating, is really mm-hmm. most often just the superficial or the biological manifestation of something psychologically going on inside, underneath, in the past, yeah. things they believe about themselves, the world, yeah. those kind of paradigms that need yeah. to shift. So, for all of us, by the way,
it's not just right. people who struggle. I mean, how many times have you been in front of the fridge going, oh, looking for something to eat, and you're not physically hungry, but maybe,
right.
maybe you're upset about that upcoming parent-teacher meeting, or maybe you're annoyed at something your boss said, or, you want to just distract yourself from that feeling. So we all do it to one degree or another. It becomes a problem when you do it a lot.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And you shared, in your bio, we shared about you really use a lot of stories and metaphors in your treatment. You shared the story about the emperor's new clothes. Can you tell us how metaphors and stories help someone recover from emotional eating or food restriction?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing how it works, because a metaphor actually uses a different part of your brain, which is really kind of cool. And so if I'm working with somebody and I'm trying to help them understand something, I want to go in a different way, so that I'm not up against all their preconceived ideas. And usually it's preconceived ideas of what's wrong with them. And so I'll use a metaphor to kind of, even though I'm talking about the eating issue, I'm not mentioning food or I'm not mentioning body. And so here's an example. And for metaphors, you get to use your imagination. And we're going in the right side of your brain. So imagine you're on the banks of a raging river. It's pouring down rain. And you slip and you fall in and you're drowning, right? You're getting pulled down through the rapids. And along comes a big log. And you grab on. And the log saves your life. It keeps your head above water when surely you would have drowned. And eventually it carries you to a place in the river where the water is calm. And from there you can see the riverbank, but you can't get there because you're holding on to this big log. And so the irony is the very thing that saved your life is getting in the way of you getting where you want to go in life. Now, here's an example. I'm talking about the eating disorder, but I'm not using those words at all, right? It's a metaphor, but we all know what it's like to feel like you're drowning in strong emotional currents, and so you're going to just grab on. So this is what happens when someone grabs on to an eating disorder. It's a way to keep themselves afloat, but it's more complicated than that because there's always someone on the riverbank yelling, let go of the log, let go of the log, right? And you feel like an absolute idiot because you can't let go of the log. Well, the way I see it, letting go of that log may not be the very best thing to do initially, because what happens if you let go of that log, start to swim to shore, get halfway there and realize, oh, shoot, I don't have the strength to make it. Well, that means you don't have the strength and confidence to make it back to the log either, and you're really sunk. So I believe we have a wise part of ourselves that will not let us let go of anything until we're good and ready. So what do you do instead? Well, let go of the log and try floating. And when you start to sink, grab back on. Then you let go of the log and you practice treading water. And when you get tired, you grab back on. Then you let go of the log and you swim around it once and grab back on. Twice, grab back on. 10 times, 100 times, 200 times. Whatever it takes to have the strength and confidence to make it to shore. Then you let go of the log. So you can see here, I'm not talking about eating disorders, but I am talking about eating disorders, right? I am talking about learning ways to deal with the strong emotional currents and developing the skills that you need to deal with whatever it is life is sending your way.
You mentioned within your book and the context in which you teach and help folks heal from these issues, you say that the actual foods we struggle with can help us find the hidden reasons why we might eat when we're not hungry or why we don't eat when we are. Yeah. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Okay, that is so cool. This is the most fun part about this, which is why I've been doing this work for 35 years, because here's really where, you know, recovery oftentimes is really difficult and painful and hard work. So anytime there's a fun part of it, I love that. So again, working with another metaphor, if you can imagine two tanks, tank A and tank B, we're going to call them. Mm-hmm. Tank A is the tank you fill when you need physical nourishment and you fill it with food. Tank B is the tank you fill when you need emotional or spiritual nourishment and you fill it with things like attention, affection, meditation, prayer, acknowledgement, and so on. But what happens is we think there's just one tank. So before we know it, maybe tank A is full and overflowing, but we're still hungry. Or maybe we don't even want to eat any food at all. We don't want to get close to tank A because we're afraid we'll never be able to stop. So what has to happen is you have to tease the two tanks apart. And the way you do this is what I mentioned earlier, interoceptive awareness. You find your hunger and satiety signals in your body. And these are sensations like contraction and expansion and heaviness and lightness and roughness and smoothness and hollowness and density. And so you have to find what is the physical signal in your body that tells you you are hungry, and where in your body do you feel it? And a lot of times people will say, oh, I get lightheaded and dizzy, or my stomach really growls. No, that's not hunger. That's famished. Mm-hmm. And what's going to happen if you wait to eat until you're famished, right? You, me, the rest of us, we're going to eat everything we get our hands on. And so finding that sensation is, it's more like a whisper than a shout. It's subtle. And the same with the sensation for fullness. A lot of times people say, if I say, what's the physical sensation for fullness? They'll say, I can't breathe, or I have to unbuckle my belt. No, that's stuffed. And what's going to happen if you eat regularly until you're stuffed? You're going to be a body size that's not right for you. So finding your hunger and satiety signals is what you learn to do to tease these two tanks apart. So let's imagine you got it. You've learned your hunger and satiety signals, and you know when you're hungry, you know when you're not. You're reaching for the pizza and you check in, and there is not a hunger signal in sight, but you still want to eat that pizza, right? We've all been there. It's not like, you know, just some people, but all of us, we've been there. But what this means is you've just stumbled down Alice in Wonderland's rabbit hole and landed smack dab in tank B. And in tank B, that's the world of metaphor. And pizza is not pizza. Food is no longer food. What is it? It's a concrete physical symbol of another kind of hunger that you may be experiencing and not even know about. But the food is talking to you, but it's talking in code. It talks in symbolic language. For example, like you can have 1,000 American flags. Are you more free? No, the flag is the symbol of freedom. We understand that. What happens is food can be symbols for us as well. Mm-hmm. And so but like I said, it's coded. So you have to learn to crack the code. And I'm happy to tell your listeners right now how to do that if you want.
Yeah, actually right now we do have to pop to a commercial break.
That's what I thought.
Yep. See, you're reading my mind. I love that. I love hearing all about this. This is something, you know, this obviously isn't about me, but I'm one of those folks that has struggled with disordered eating, the yo-yo dieting, the back and forth, the, you know, I don't think I've ever gotten quite to the point of an actual diagnosed eating disorder, but a few years ago, it was really, really close. Yeah. And, you know, so continuing to what you've mentioned, really learn those skills, find out what's going on inside, not physically, but psychologically, emotionally, what, you know, what those foods we're searching for, what are they really telling us? So really good point to push pause for just a moment, pop over to a quick commercial break. This is a giveaway alert. So listeners, listen up. If you go to lightofthemooncafe.com/AWN. So again, that's lightofthemooncafe.com/AWN. You can download their food and metaphor guide, which lines up right with what Dr. Johnston's been telling us about so far. Also, if you would like to connect with Dr. Johnston, Light of the Moon Cafe, or Ipono Hawaii, you can find them online. For Dr. Johnston, she is on Facebook, Instagram at Dr. Anita Johnston, or on her website, dranitajohnston.com. Light of the Moon Cafe is just like it sounds. Facebook, Instagram at Light of the Moon Cafe, or the website, lightofthemooncafe.com. And finally, Ipono Hawaii. So this is AIPONO.com, or on Facebook, Instagram at Ipono Hawaii. Now, if you, you know, didn't have a pencil and paper, you're out taking a run or driving in your car, no worries. All of those social media handles, as well as the information and outbound link for that download freebie, will be listed in our show notes on armywifenetwork.com. So you can access those there. In the meantime, it's quick time for that quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
Engage, educate, encourage, empower. Advertise. AWN has many opportunities for promotion of your brand, service, or product, including web creatives, blog posts, social media promotion, giveaways, and podcast audio commercials. email empower@armywifenetwork.com to get started. We sincerely thank you for your support to empower military spouses, families, and their service members around the globe.
Listeners, we are back talking with Dr. Anita Johnston, clinical psychologist, author, and certified eating disorder specialist. So, Dr. Johnston, I have an important question to kick off this second portion of the interview. Is complete recovery from an eating disorder possible?
Absolutely. I've been working in the field for 35 years, and honestly, I have heard from thousands of people that have totally, completely recovered. Recovered, period. However, I do have to say this, there is one important skill that I've never, ever seen anybody recover from without developing the skill, and that's the skill of assertive communication, which is the capacity to identify, accept, and express your feelings in a way that honors your experience and the experience of others. It's super critical.
Oh, I love that, and I'm so glad. Like, it just makes me so happy, because I think folks, when they are so far down in any psychological distress, mental health issue, disorder, whatever, I think one of the key issues is hopelessness. One of the key things they're struggling with is, will I ever get better? And I think that's where, you know, I don't want to get off on a tangent, but I think that's where, you know, suicidal ideation comes in, because like the lack of hopelessness. So the fact that complete recovery is possible, it's just super encouraging and so freeing for those folks that might be struggling with that.
The metaphor I like to use for that is, think of a weed, right? If you just cut it off at the top, given the right circumstances, it's going to come back. But if you can go down and get rid of those roots, it's a done deal. So that's what an eating disorder is like. You do have to go a little more subterranean. You can't just do symptom removal. Find out what's driving it in the first place. And then you find other ways to respond so that you put the eating disorder out of a job.
Get rid of it. Oh, that's so good. So good. So Dr. Johnston, if any military spouses or family members are listening and maybe have those inklings or those struggles or kind of some questions, how, like, can they receive care and support from IPONO?
Absolutely. And so there's different levels of care. So the lowest level is to get help from a dietitian who is a health at every size dietitian specializing in eating disorders, or a therapist. But some people need more support than that, so that they might need to join an IOP, which stands for Intensive Outpatient Program, an IOP group that they can participate in. And then but for some people, they still need more support than that. And that's where residential care comes in. That's what we have on Maui. We have a residential facility. It's a small 8-bed home-like atmosphere, oceanfront, by the way. But there's residential facilities like all over the country that can help people at that level. And then the highest level of care is when someone needs medical intervention, because eating disorders are serious. They can be life-threatening, and they can really get out of hand, and sometimes people need to go in hospital. So those are different levels of care depending on the amount of support a person needs. And then I have the Light of the Moon Cafe is an online course that they can get a lot of information from. So there's all sorts of resources available.
Right. And I think we also mentioned you do virtual counseling.
Especially nowadays with so many folks. But I've been doing virtual counseling for about 10 years now. But that nowadays it's pretty easy to find someone because COVID.
Yeah, absolutely. You were doing virtual before virtual was cool. So I feel, you know, you're ahead of the curve on that for sure. Well, Dr. Johnston, our time together is about to wrap up, but I would love for you to remind our listeners where they can go to find even more empowering information from you all about disordered eating and maybe even how to crack their hunger code.
Okay, so if you want to find out what's in Tank B and what your food is trying to say to you, I have a little quiz at Light of the Moon Cafe, so you can put in the kinds of foods you like to eat, and it will help show you how to find out what those underlying issues are. And it's really kind of fun, actually. If anybody is wanting more support one-on-one, I'm happy to speak with somebody about that. If someone wants to know about what's involved in residential treatment, because it can be really scary to even think of that, go ahead and give us a call at iPono, and you'll be able to speak with somebody that'll answer all the questions and let you know what's involved.
Wow, that's so cool. And I'm a giant quiz nerd, so I think I will totally check that out because, you know, depending on the day, I like different foods. And it would be interesting to be like, oh, I'm going after sugar. I'm stressed out, or, you know, whatever those things are connected
to. Sugar, by the way, has to do with either feeling like there's not enough sweetness in your life or you're not sweet enough.
Oh, that's a fun metaphor.
Yeah.
And that explains.
That's how it works.
That explains a lot. Oh, brother. Our primary mission here at Army Wife Network is empowerment, and it's clearly something you're doing for people around the globe, in Hawaii, online, virtually, when it comes to the relationship with food. So one of my favorite parts of the show is when we get to ask our guests what empowerment means to them. So how would you complete the sentence? Empowerment is?
Empowerment is authenticity. That is when you are your true self, your authentic self. And what that looks like is that your innermost feelings are in alignment with your outermost behavior.
Innermost feelings in alignment with your outermost behavior. So kind of that, like congruency, like everything lines up and everything is tracking the way it should be. There's nothing offset or wonky. I'm sure that's the technical psychological term, wonky, probably.
And that's being authentic, right?
Yeah, which is something that, you know, is very important to us here at Army Wife Network, especially on Army Wife Talk Radio. Hopefully our listeners know there's not a lot of pretension with me. You know, I want to share my pieces of the story and keep it real with folks, because we need more of that in the world. And it's a good tool to kind of, you know, keep things authentic and be true to ourselves, which counteracts a lot of the potential issues we might have when we don't feel seen, heard, loved, sweet, those kinds of things. Dr. Anita, I just so appreciate you taking time out of your very busy schedule to come share your story, share your resources with us. I am completely confident there are folks out there, myself included, that needed to hear your message today. So thank you for coming on the show.
My pleasure, Sharita. Thank you.
It's been so helpful, and I'm sure a lot of people listening probably needed to hear this. So we do wish you all the best. And now we'll pop over back to our studios to check in with our host.
Army Wife Talk Radio is celebrating our 15th year on the air. AWTR is the leading and longest running podcast of its kind and has over 700 episodes in the archives. Subscribe to this podcast on our website, www.armywifenetwork.com, or on the podcatcher of your choice, such as iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or Pandora. Engage, educate, encourage. AWTR is your source for military life empowerment.
What an empowering interview. We are so thankful that Dr. Anita Johnston joined us to share these resources about iPono Eating Disorder Treatment Program, eating disorders, and other struggles with food during National Eating Disorders Awareness Week. Again, if you would like to connect with Dr. Anita Johnston, you can find her online at dranitajohnston.com or Facebook and Instagram at Dr. DranitaJohnston. Connect with Light of the Moon Cafe at lightofthemooncafe.com or on Facebook and Instagram at Light of the Moon Cafe. And finally, you can connect with iPono Hawaii at aipono.com or on Facebook and Instagram at iPono Hawaii.
Now, Sarah, in this interview, this was definitely something that was outside of my wheelhouse, which I'm very thankful for. But it was very interesting to hear just some of the statistics along the way and how she talked about, you know, where she was in Hawaii and how, there was no facility for people who had an eating disorder. And so she kind of came at it with the, if you build it, they will come type of scenario.
That's a really interesting way to put it. And I feel like this isn't something that you hear people talk about a whole lot. And I think it can be one of those things that makes you feel very vulnerable when you do share it with someone.
I agree.
And so to have that opportunity and that organization out there that you can reach out to and get in touch with and receive the help that you may need is such a valuable thing to have in your back pocket.
And it is, because it's one of those things where you may never know when you or someone in your community may need something like that. It's something you hope no one ever needs, but just knowing it is valuable for when the time is right to be able to share it.
I think that having people within our community and helping each other by holding these sorts of things close, that's kind of what we're here for as military spouses. And sometimes you don't have a spouse that you can go to and share these things with, because maybe that's a hard place to start. So having your friends there to support you and direct you is the best help.
Yeah. And it's interesting you say that, because in the interview, when she talks about the story of the emperor's clothing, and there was the little boy who was bold enough to point out that the emperor was actually naked and did not have these fancy clothes on. It's kind of one of those things where within your community, if you notice something, you have to be bold to be like, hey, you're walking around naked, you know, or you have an issue, and giving them a resource as opposed to just pointing it out. I think it's powerful to have this in your pocket to know that it exists. It's now time for this week's resource recon, which comes Chrissy Gibbs and our band of bloggers called The Perfect Year. She writes, close your eyes and picture your perfect year with your spouse. Each of us will have different images in our heads, of course. Maybe you'll be traveling together, or maybe you'll be achieving career success. Maybe you'll be spending time with your family, or maybe starting that new family. For the most part, your perfect year would include time together, right? As I sat down to think about my relationship with my husband, I realized that this past year was literally what I would have imagined when I closed my eyes. We didn't have any deployments or trainings or time apart, and according to my love language, which is quality time, it should have been all 5 stars, would recommend. But we still had our struggles, and we actually had difficulty finding a rhythm because he was around all the time. We had to find ways to separate the normal day-to-day activities with those that helped build our relationship, all while dealing with the pandemic. Let's just say it was quite the adjustment. Now, make sure to head over to armywifenetwork.com to read the 3 things that helped prevent her relationship from growing apart. Now, Sarah, if there's ever something that I can relate to, it's that rhythm of being around someone all the time. Because, you know, when they're gone all the time, or, you know, that deployment cycle or that training cycle, and then all of a sudden they're here, it's an adjustment.
It is. And, you know, we talk about how people come back together after deployments, and we talk about how there's that really odd period of adjustment for both the service member and the spouse. But I feel like that can happen even when there isn't a deployment. It can be from training. It can be from TDY. You know, 2 months apart, you come back together. Even that's a little odd.
Even, I mean, with some units you go to and they're gone before dawn and they don't come back until it's dark. But then when they have a regular schedule, like when you go into like a trade-off unit, it's different. It's funny what we get used to.
I remember one time looking at my husband and saying, I don't know what to do with you here. Like, it's just, you're not supposed to be here right now. I don't know how to like factor you into this moment.
It's funny you say that, because it's so true, because it's like, you know, you get into the routine of how you do things, and then there's helping hands, but helping hands can sometimes feel like they're in the way.
Mm-hmm. And then there's that, like, do I yield to these helping hands when you're going to be gone again soon.
Yeah.
Another month, another couple of months, another year. Do I want to get used to it? It's such a weird thing that I feel like a lot of people outside of our community just would be like, what?
It's such a strange struggle.
I love how she's talking about too, just like being together and being at this point in your marriage where you still love to be together, but you also need that separation a little bit too. You know, it can be suffocating. And I mean, newlyweds, you have that where I want to be around you all the time. Yep. And I feel like you hit a certain point and you're like, yeah, I love you dearly, but I do need like my space and my time. 100%. And it was great to see that. And speaking of love and relationships, we're going to spread a little bit of love this month. Molly, do you think that you might be able to help a little bit with that?
I think I have something. You know, we love sharing content from our band of bloggers, but Amanda Bickneys does it best with her weekly Empowerment Patrol report.
Hello, Army Wife Talk Radio listeners. I'm Amanda Bickneys, bringing you this week's Empowerment Patrol report. Today, we are showcasing two of our volunteers who are MRE winners, which, by the way, that stands for Motivated and Ready to Empower. First up, we have Anna Larson from our band of bloggers. Anna is a 14-year military spouse, homeschool mom of two amazing kids, fur baby owner, and entrepreneur. She started her own business after nearly 20 years in marketing and program management. Nomad About helps businesses with copywriting, social media management, and marketing strategies. She contributes monthly to a number of publications, hosts a weekly podcast, and live stream business show called 15-ish Minute Coffee Chat, sits on the board as the director of operations for a nonprofit that offers support to cancer patients, and co-leads the Fort Hood chapter of the Association of Military Spouse Entrepreneurs. In her spare time, she likes to travel the world with her family. You can find Anna on social media at I Am Nomad About or by visiting her website, www.nomadabout.com. Next up, we want to give a huge shout out to our Army Wife Network Command Team member, Jolene McNutt. Jolene is a writer, editor, and graphic designer. She co-owns a business with her retired teacher dad, creating hands-on resources for elementary and middle school teachers. Jolene has been married to her extroverted husband, Phil, for more than 11 years. Phil recently jumped ship as an AGR soldier in the Wisconsin Army National Guard and re-enlisted in the Big Army with 17 years of active duty service. Jolene and Phil have an elementary age son, Finn, who loves Legos, math, and reading. Jolene enjoys traveling, reading, and making allergy-friendly recipes for Finn. Despite her introverted nature, Jolene loves hosting friends and family. You can find her volunteering or playing with a pup or two during her spare time. Find her on Instagram at JoleneMichelle1. So much thanks goes out to Anna and Jolene for doing their part to empower military families all across the globe. Until next time, I'm Amanda Bickneys, reminding you that we are never completely alone on this military life journey.
Congratulations, Jolene and Anna. We are ready to hook you up with your prize pack. Listeners, if you or someone you know is empowering those around you, head over to armywifenetwork.com to nominate them. On our website, look under the menu for Get Involved and click the tab Everyday Empowerment or AWN Empowers. You can also view our previous winners in our Empowerment Gallery. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we will hear from our incredible News 6 correspondent, Jolene McNutt, who is bringing us this week's top stories and need-to-know news.
No news is typically good news in this military life.
Except on Army Wife Talk Radio.
So here is our AWN News 6 correspondent with this week's top stories.
Hi, Sarah and Molly. Here are this week's top stories. The FDA has approved a rapid blood test for traumatic brain injury that can be used on the battlefield, reported Army Times. The test identifies two brain-specific protein markers that appear following a TBI incident. The new test will provide a more scientific method for screening for potential TBI than the previous method, which was based on analyzing symptoms. The new test will also help reduce the number of head scans needed to diagnose TBIs. Read more at armytimes.com. The Department of Defense is reporting a higher efficiency rate of doling out COVID-19 vaccines than the U.S. public. The DoD is reporting an efficiency rate of about 82%, outpacing the national efficiency average of 68%, according to Federal News Network. The vaccine is currently considered voluntary for military members and has been offered to healthcare workers, people essential to national security, and those about to deploy. Read more about the DoD's COVID-19 vaccine rollout at federalnewsnetwork.com. A new ID card system is rolling out force-wide for military family members, retirees, and their family members, reported Military Times. The card will be similar to the Common Access card without the chip and will provide a more durable and secure ID. The last change to military family and retiree cards was 1993. There is no need to rush out for a new ID. The new card will be issued when your current one expires. Additionally, not all locations have the technology to update ID cards to the new version at the moment. Defense Manpower Data Center expects all ID locations to be outfitted by the end of 2021. You could read more about the benefits of the card at militarytimes.com. The VA has been buzzing with excitement over an alternative therapy, beekeeping. Valerie Carter, a recreational therapist at the Manchester VA Medical Center, started a beekeeping program 2 years ago. Shared the Vantage blog at va.gov, the program began with two hives installed at the facility using a VA Farms grant. The veterans participating in the program reported improved social connections along with decreases in post-traumatic stress and depression. Another program in West Virginia called Veterans and Heroes to Agriculture offers veterans classes in beekeeping. One participant, veteran Eric Grandin, was too scared to even open his hives initially, admitting that after he purchased his two hives, he didn't even open the hives for 2 years. Now he has 115 hives and trains fellow veterans in beekeeping. "It's like the military," said Grandin. "It's so systematic. There's such harmony in the hive, just like a unit. Everyone's on the same mission and has the same focus." There is not a nationwide VA-sponsored beekeeping program. However, veterans interested in beekeeping are encouraged to first check with their local recreational therapists to see if their area has a program. You can also check out Heroes to Hives, a free program offered by Michigan State University Extension, Bees for Vets, University of Minnesota Bee Veterans Program, and Farmer Veteran Coalition. I have links to all of these at our News 6 blog on armywifenetwork.com. And this week in history, on February 25th, 1870, Hiram Rhodes Revels was sworn in as the first African-American senator. He was appointed to fill one of Mississippi's vacant Senate seats. He served in the role for a year where he advocated for desegregation in schools and on the railroads. Learn more about Hiram Revels at history.house.gov. Find the links to all of our News 6 reports at armywifenetwork.com. This is your Army Wife Network News 6 correspondent, Jolene McNutt, signing out.
I am so grateful for Jolene's desire to bring us the most up-to-date military life news to make sure we are as informed as we can be.
Need more information to engage, educate, encourage, and empower you in your military life journey? At armywifenetwork.com, you can find more than 2,000 blog posts about deployment, PCS, Army life, health, and more. You can also check out our most popular resource, Post with the Most. Aaron from Fort Riley says, "I use AWN on a weekly basis to get the support my family and I need to thrive in this military life." Tap into all of our empowering resources at www.armywifenetwork.com.
Well, listeners, our mission is accomplished for this episode of Army Wife Talk Radio. We hope to see you online each Thursday at noon Eastern for our weekly Facebook Live Mill Spouse Empowerment Moments. You can also subscribe to our podcasts on the podcast app of your choice and catch new episodes Mondays and Thursdays each week. Tune in for our next full-length episode of Army Wife Talk Radio when our Army Wife Network owner and commander, Sherita Knobloch, interviews Alicia Mock to talk about Onward to Opportunity, a career skills program that provides civilian career training, professional certifications, and employment services support to transitioning service members, members of the reserves or National Guard, veterans, and military spouses. It's going to be another empowering show.
It most definitely is going to be. And listeners, we encourage you to follow us along all social media platforms with the handle at Army Wife Network and invite you to join us as well. We are stronger and more empowered together. Tag your friends and share this podcast. You can also leave a review on Apple Podcasts to let everyone know how Army Wife Network helps you on your military life journey.
Listeners, we want to be your metaphorical energy drink in this military life. We are here cheering you on no matter what military life throws your way. Engage, educate, encourage. Army Wife Talk Radio is your source for military life empowerment. This is your AWN Command Team signing out.
Thank you for tuning in to Army Wife Talk Radio. The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. AWTR is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services, and inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. Until the next episode, head over to www.armywifenetwork.com to connect with all of our empowering resources. Engage, educate, encourage. AWN is your source for military life empowerment.